to be in the house of the Lord again. I'm still dealing with this ear. Thursday, the whole side of my face and head was all swollen up. And I said I had an outer ear infection. And it was hurting pretty bad, I can tell you that. And so thank you for your prayers. And I'm gonna try to stay behind this desk today because I don't know. To myself, I sound like I'm talking into a barrel or something, you know. And having this, can't stand the air to hit inside that ear. So I'll do the best I can with my voice. Y'all just bear with me. Before we go to scriptures, I have a couple things I wanted to. I'm getting a flyer. We're gonna have a flyer made up that we'll post out here so that to kind of keep everybody reminded of the. I want to have the anniversary service this year, and it'll be. We're gonna go ahead and have our Thursday night service. We'll just include it into it. So we'll do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what I'm looking at right now is October 29th is a Thursday, then the 30th, and 31st is a Saturday. The Thursday and Friday, we'll have it at our regular time, 7 o'clock. I'm looking at, right now, potentially, I'm looking at 5 o'clock on Saturday because I've got a couple other things I was kind of wanting to do on Saturday to allow a little more time and not keep everybody so late because we'll have our regular service at 10 o'clock on that Sunday, which will be November 1st. So we got Brother Bo Smeaton will be coming to speak, and then my brother Samuel will be coming. And so we'll be making something so that, I just want to announce this stuff. I know it's way out, seems so way out in the future, but actually July of 2015 seemed way out in the future just about 6 months ago. And I have a hard time believing we've already went past halfway, we're at the halfway part of the new year. It just seems like it just went by so quickly. Seems like for me, it's a strange thing. Sometimes I got days that seem like the day will never end. At the same time, the months are just flying by. And so wanted to make that, and like I said, we'll be posting something out there. One more thing, I have an email from Brother Everest, and so he's addressed it, and I want to read it to y'all. Hello, Pastor. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I landed here safely. I have already started my new job at the university, and I'm currently enjoying the situation here. I have reunited with the precious brethren here, and it is really wonderful. I will all be remembering you, and I really ask for your prayers since I need God's leading here so that he can be the one to receive the glory. Thanks for everything, and I hope we will keep in touch. Please tell the whole church that I greet them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thanks, Brother Everest. Praise the Lord. So I've got that email. Actually, it came in on, I guess that'd be last week, Tuesday the 16th. That's when I got it. I just have had very limited access to the internet, being as I've got, I broke the one phone I have that I could get unlimited internet on it. And so I've had to wait till either I got around somebody that had internet or my wife would get home where I could kind of get on somewhere. Usually everybody's got their own phone set up for their own emails. And so I didn't want to mess up nothing on theirs, and so I had to wait till I could get to a computer to check my email. So I just opened this email up this week, but we're not too far late on it. So he sent it on the 16th of June, so that took him a little while, you know, getting everything, but like he said, he already had work. So we just want to continue to remember our precious brother in prayer. And I really would love, I miss him dearly, and I'd really love to see him again. And there's times you meet some really precious brothers and sisters, and you get a little bit of time with them here, but you know you're going to get eternity with them over there, and that's what's wonderful. Amen. Let's just bow our heads now in a word of prayer before we go to Scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for your grace, and we're thankful to be here, Lord, and thankful that you're here present with us. We ask now, dear God, that you're guiding in this service and upon the message, Lord, that you laid on my heart. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 119, I had spoke on, started on This Is My Comfort, spoke on This Is My Comfort last Sunday. And as I just kept that in mind this week, I wanted to tell you a little more about some things as my comfort, what helps me through the hard times. And the message I want to speak today, I've actually already spoke on this once here last year, but I imagine if you went back and listened to what I spoke last year, I trust you'll see there's even been growth in it from then till now. And perhaps some, I spoke of it on a Thursday night once, and but I've got some more things I want to bring out in there. But let's just read this, Psalms 119, begin at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Down to verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have watched for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Amen. You may be seated. I tell you, those verses of scriptures there really means a lot to me. It should mean a lot to all of us. Unless it says, unless thy law had been my delights. When I read that, I know that we have come into an era of grace. But what I read there is, thy word has been my delights. The word of God. Because in the complete word of God, of course, we have the law. But the law was made for the Jew, for Israel, into the coming of Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. The law was actually pointing to the coming of Christ. Everything that they kept, the Passovers, the feasts, their approach, every bit of it, even how the tabernacle in the wilderness was constructed, even how the tabernacle the temple that was eventually built. Remember that David wanted to build it, but God said no and granted that his son Solomon would. And even in the building of it and how the things, it was just every bit just spoke of God in his word. And I look at this where it says, this is my comfort in mine affliction. My comfort in mine affliction. Many times I'm no different. What I would really like for comfort when I'm being afflicted is for the affliction to be removed. And I know that y'all, you ain't much different than me. Being that we're all human, that's kind of a natural thing. If we think always the answer is to have the problem removed. That's not always the answer. We look at and say, well, he's a healer. If he's a healer, then the answer will be just heal it and make it all go away. Well, remember Paul sought him three times over his affliction. And all the Lord spoke to him is, my grace is sufficient. And, you know, you look at that. I remember when the first time I was just a little boy and I heard a teacher that has always been dear to my heart. He's passed away now, a teacher of the Word of God. And he spoke on that. And I, in my understanding at the time, I was just a child. I couldn't understand at an adult level. But I wondered that at the first time I heard it and said, well, why wouldn't have God just healed him? Why did he just keep saying, my grace is sufficient? And I'll tell you, as I've grown older, went through many battles, faced many afflictions and trials, and that I realize why he said, my grace is sufficient. Not always does God remove the trial. Not always does God remove the affliction. But what he does is he gives us the grace to face it, to go through it. The prophet of God said that the word in Revelation said, to the overcomer I will grant these things. And he says, if God was to just pull us up to heaven through a pipe to where we never experienced any suffering, we never experienced any temptation, we never experienced any trials, we never experienced any afflictions, and then pull us out on the other side and say to the overcomer, he said, well, what would we have overcome? So it says to the overcomer, that must mean there's got to be things that we're going to face that we have to overcome. Now, there are things that perhaps maybe if I were to share with you some of the things that seems to be my afflictions and what I have to struggle with, you may look at them and you may think, well, that just sounds like that'd be pretty easy to me. But then maybe somebody else would look at what your affliction is and they would think, well, if I had that, I could handle that. But then you'd look at theirs and say, well, if I had theirs, I could handle that. Well, here's the thing. Brother Branham says the enemy studies us. And he knows our weakness. And he goes for our weakness, and that's what he attacks. And not all of us, you know, or have the same weaknesses. Some things that may, and in this, I'm not talking about temptations necessarily. Many times our minds go to temptations right away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, even if we would study the things of affliction of the body, not everybody gets sick with the same thing. Not everybody suffers from the same disease. Not everybody suffers from the same sicknesses. There's different ones that'll come your way. Some people suffer from heart conditions. Some people suffer from diabetes. Others suffer from high blood pressure. There's those that suffer from fibromyalgia, which the first time I ever heard it, I thought they were just making that up. It took me a while before I could even say that word. And, it was kind of told to me in an accent, so it was kind of hard for me to understand anyway. And there's different things, you know. And you know, you say, well, if I was hit by anything, it would definitely be hard for me. Well, perhaps someone who's dying of cancer would say, you know, if I just had high blood pressure or diabetes, I could take it. Huh? You know, I told you last year I spent time with my uncle before he died. And I'll tell you something. I got to see just how cruel the disease of cancer is. And I can tell you this, I no longer wonder why the angel God said to the prophet, said, if you get the people to believe you, not even cancer can stand before you. Well, I understand why the angel specified that one. That's one of the most cruel diseases ever. That is, it's not, you know, a heart attack, a person can suffer from heart and they can go on and seem like life is normal and then just one heart attack and they're gone. But when it comes to cancer, boy, that thing can drag on and on and on, and the suffering. My uncle, he had tumors that would form around his backbone and press up against different organs and that. And that's where the cancer was. Of course, it began to spread. But, you know, when you'd first hear it, say, well, it would just make him maybe where he couldn't walk. And at times, that's what it did do. And there were times that the Lord's grace would just help him. And I know we prayed for him here. He fought the battle 16 years with cancer. And so the first I ever heard of it, I started having a prayer request brought here for him. But you look at something like that, you know, and you say, well, you know, some other condition can go on 16 years. How about living 16 years not knowing if you'll live the next one? And that's the way it was. Every time it would flare up, get worse, you know, they go in to do a surgery, take some out, and then hear it come again. About the time he'd be doing better, I tell you, they took him to doctors all over the place. They went to universities and everywhere, even did medicine that were in trials and things that he would sign a waiver that to where that they could try these different medications and things that weren't approved yet. And, you know, just a struggle for life. And I'll tell you what, for a year, you know, and I'm not saying this to get sympathy or anything, I'm saying this to show you something. For a year, he lay in a bed in his living room for a whole year before he passed away. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord God, oh Lord, I wouldn't want to have to lay in a bed dying for a whole year. Not able to get up, can't even go out of that room. Oh my goodness. When he would talk to me, I'd go outside and do work around the house and different things, and he'd talk to me and ask me what it looked like outside. I'd take pictures and bring him in and show him. It'd break your heart. He was a man that didn't like to be indoors. He liked to be outside doing things. I'd go in there, he'd say, I had a dream. I was outside walking and looking at the flowers and the trees, he said today. I tell you what, it was just heartbreaking. You try not to get around them and cry, because that ain't going to help them. You kind of go off to yourself, you know, get out of their presence. And then I'd get out, and I'm just that way. I'd get out of his presence. It'd just tear me up so bad, I'd just bawl. Then I'd go back in there and be strong for him, you know. And I'll tell you what, he told me, he said, I went over and stayed a month, and he told me, he said, Jerry, he said, I don't know how you done this. He said, I don't know if it'd be the other way around. And it'd be you in this bed. I don't know if I could come stay with you for a whole month. And I said, well, I don't know if I could stay in that bed for a whole year. You know. And there's afflictions and trials we face, but there are things that God has given us in his word. And he says, I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And he said, but the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. And I know it's David writing, David talking about the wicked. I'll tell you what, we've got some wicked demons in this day, and they're getting worse. How many knows what happened here this week in your country, in the Supreme Court? They upheld it, that for same-sex marriage, that it over, you know, here in the state of Tennessee, they, some, not long ago, they had up, they've had it up on the ballot to vote whether that we'd allow that here in the state of Tennessee. And other states have had it as well. And the times it's come up here in Tennessee, it's always been voted down. Well, this overrides all state laws, and that now this is federal. And the one said there was one judge that voted against it, and he got up and made a statement and said, "How it's a shame now where 9 people can make a decision for the entire nation." And you say, and I know that Satan, look, friends, he moves along bringing sympathy for these things long before he ever, you know, it ever gets to this place. And so I know someone hear me speaking on it, and they'd say, "Well, what's so wrong with it? What's so bad?" You know. Sometimes that sympathy or things of that nature will move into places among people you'd never think. Someone dear to me posted on the internet, I found out last night, wife was telling me to post on the internet a picture of that Bruce Jenner that turned himself into a woman. Posted on there and said, "Well, he's more woman than a lot of women I know." Like, it broke my heart when I found it. Mina tried to tell me, said, "Well, he was just doing it because he likes to do things controversial, get things started." But I never would have thought. I'll tell you what, when you open up to the enemy, you can't just keep him in the foyer. He's going to, if you open the door, he's going to come all the way in. You know, you invite him in. Y'all forgive me for this reference, but I remember years ago, you know, watching old movies of vampires and that, and one of the rules they had was they couldn't come in unless you invited them in. Well, I'll tell you what, reckon where they got that idea from. The devil can't come in unless you invite him in. And when you invite him in, you can't just sequester him off to one room or something. Once you invite him in, why, goodness, he just wants to go from room to room to room to room. You know what your house is, don't you? And where you invite him in, where people can invite him in at, it's in that spirit realm. You know, the devil, he's got complete access to your flesh. You know that? He gets it by God's permission. He's got complete access to your flesh. He's got it because of condemnation by representation. Amen. Adam, when he made his decision to do what he did, that's what brought that about and gave Satan free rein to have a go at your flesh. You know. And, but to get it to... He's constantly from your flesh. He'll come and try to attack your spirit realm. And he'll try to bring discouragement to you. Friends, look, the devil knows. You know, you ever get around and you say, hear somebody say, "I don't like getting," I'll tell you what, that person right there knows how to push my buttons. You ever heard that? Well, I'll tell you something. The devil knows how to push each one of yours. The devil knows your weaknesses. The devil knows where he can trip you up at. And I'll tell you what, he ain't going to trip you up where you think you can be strong. And not only that, but the devil will make you think that you're doing it because you want to do it. Well, let me ask you this. Everybody wants to go to hell, raise your hand. See, I don't see no hands raised. You say, "You're being a smart aleck." No, I'm not. The Bible says there's such things as know ye not that this and that and liars and adulterers and thieves and whoremongers, they said, don't you know they're all going to hell? Now we either believe, Apostle Paul said that by the Spirit of God, we either believe that or not.
Amen.
So if we're doing something that's going to take us there, are we really doing what we want to do? Reason with me a moment.
Amen.
Are we really doing what we want to do if what we're doing, we're being influenced to do it because the devil's wanting us to go live with him? Let me say it that way. Sometimes people think I'm a smart aleck or too hard, so I say go to hell. Well, the devil wants you to go be where he is. But I'll tell you what, there's one that said, I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. Hallelujah. That's where I want to go. The devil knows how to come against us. And you know what? There's one thing that the devil seems like that universally. I've traveled around the world, friends. I ain't been in every country, but I've been in a whole lot of them. And it seems like universal. No matter what country or nationality, what language they speak, there's one thing I find in common that the devil uses, and that's family. The devil loves using family and family issues. And if we'll let him, he'll keep things tore up and stirred up. That's right. But you know, you say, well, what about this or that or this really bothers me? Friends, you think there are any things that don't bother me? Sunday was Father's Day. I heard from every one of my children except Jack. He knows my phone number by heart, and he knows where I live. And he's the only one I didn't hear from. I heard from all the other kids. And you know, it hurts. I gave freely of my heart. I tell you what, that boy's got himself in a mess. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I can't get him out of it. One of the things I always try to teach all my children, look, sometimes you might not like because I got authority over you. You might not want to listen to me and your mom, but you always going to be answering to somebody. And there'll be a day when you won't be answering to me no more. You'll be answering to somebody else out there. And when you go to answer to that person, you know, my granny used to call him the big man. That's what she called the judge. When you go before the big man, why, I can't do nothing about that. When you got to answer to him, why, there ain't nothing I can do about it. I ain't rich. I ain't no sports star. You ain't going to get away with murder if you're one of my kids. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say something joking like that, but it's the truth. I was trying to get a point across. Sunday, Mina got a hold of text Jonathan because he didn't know that my phone was broke, so she texted him. And so then he called through, and he said, happy Father's Day and that. And then he said, I'm actually on my way up to Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, what you doing up there? He said, well, he quit that sales job. And I said, what kind of sales job was that anyway? I said, was you going door to door? He said, yeah. And was selling smart homes and those security systems, and had several different ones, and in systems that dealt with like helping old people, elderly people that was on their own where they could get, you know, medical assistance right away, different things like that. And he said the first month that he was there, he done real good. Sold. And then they moved him over to another district to start selling because they about sold that one up and are out. And so when he got over to this other one, he said, they always tell you to try to mirror the people. And he said, I was having trouble mirroring the people they sent me out to, you know. And he said he wasn't doing good in the sales. And so he decided, I said, when did you decide? He said, I decided today. And I said, and you already packed up and on the road? He said, yes, sir, I am. I figured, why stick around? I'll tell you, when he was telling me all this stuff, I could not help. I laughed. He could hear me laughing. And I kept saying, I'm sorry. And I'd laugh because I couldn't tell him why I was laughing. I was laughing because he couldn't have been more like me if it had been me. I've worked a sales job like that, and I've worked many others. When I decided I was going to do something, I didn't wait 4 or 5 days. You know, once I made my decision, if it was to move, we moved that day. The day I got the keys to our new home out there, I said, I got the keys. I come home. You could ask my kids. I told them, I said, look, let's start loading up the truck in the van. Boy, we're moving. We're sleeping in that place tonight. We're going to sleep in that place if we got to sleep on the floor. You know, that's the first place we ever owned in our, that's the first place we've ever owned in our life. And so it was kind of exciting, you know. And I said, I want to sleep in a place I own, you know. And but he come up, you know, and then you see, you know, just being around him, and it's hard. I'm not going to go into it, but just to tell you, look, I deal with family things too. Maybe yours might be different than mine. Mine, I get to thinking about it and I get downright depressed. I get down about it because I want my son serving God. I want my grandkids in the house of the Lord. And I realize it's a devil, see, trying to attack me there. So I have to just be able to take and put that in the hands of God. And when they do or say something that kind of offends me, well, I just let it go. I do that with all my family. Ask any one of my kids if I ever went to them ever and said, hey, you said such and such, that really hurt me and offended me. I don't do it. But why not? I don't want to hurt them. I figure I should be the big boy. I should be able to take it. I should be able to look and see their situation, where they're at, what their age is, what their experience is, and I ought to be able to be understanding. That's the way a father's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be the baby in the family. I'm supposed to be the daddy in the family. If I go around being the baby, then it's going to cause problems in the whole family. If I go around carrying a chip on my shoulder every time something don't go the way I think it should, or they didn't act the way they were, do what I thought they should have done, then I get all upset and been out of shape and offended about it and say, well, do you get upset? Yeah. Sometimes I burn my wife's ear off when I get upset or offended about it, but I never say a word to them or anybody else. You ask my wife, that's the truth. Now I know you say, well, my goodness, your family's sitting here. Most of them said, wonder what they're thinking right now. I'm not concerned about what they're thinking right now because now I'm not being daddy, I'm being pastor. What I'm concerned about is what you're hearing. I'm concerned if you're hearing this. Because I'll tell you what, friends, it's time for us to grow up. Now, you say, you think you're better than me? No, I don't. But I'll tell you something, if I couldn't teach you something, what in the world am I doing up here? Sometimes you say, well, you're younger than me. That don't matter. God don't deal out trials and tests according to chronological age. God does it according to position and responsibility that he gives you. And see, I don't got to go through everything you go through. But there are some things you go through that I've had to be tested in. And I had to say, all right, Jerry, grow up here, buddy. There's times, boy, I tell you what, I'd like to throw a fit. But what good is he going to do? Is he going to change anything? No, I need to. You know what? I look at it this way. Who should be the most understanding person in my family? My kids or me? My wife? Well, I think me and her ought to be about equal. We need to be understanding. That's what the partnership's all about. That's what companionship's all about, being helpful to each other. I don't think she needs to make all the room for me and me not make any allowance for her or understanding for her. I believe that ought to go 50-50. God didn't send her to me to become my mama. I still got a mama. And when it comes God's time and God's going to take her on, you know what I got? It don't mean I don't got a mama. It means I might not have her present here, but everything she ever taught me, everything she ever showed me, it'll go on with me. Whew. I don't know about you, but I feel like we're cutting everything off the knees this morning. We ain't leaving no room. Why? This is my comfort in mine affliction. What's my comfort? God's word. I ain't preaching to you Jerry Browning's opinion. I'm preaching to you God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this. I get to looking at it this way. Who should be more understanding, me or my Heavenly Father? Well, I think we'd all agree it ought to be him, right? He ought to be more understanding than we are, because he knows all things. Well, then if our Heavenly Father is more understanding than his children, should not we follow that example? Say, well, I'm having a hard time understanding this. I've said them very same words before about mine. I don't understand why in the world they'd do that. What in the world did I do to deserve what they're doing? It ain't about what you deserve. Somebody should have told you that when you first started having kids. Should have told you, hey, look. It ain't always going to be fun. Sometime we need to think back. Did we ever say anything disrespectful to our mom and dad? Did we ever do anything unfair to our mom and dad? Blame them for something we shouldn't? Well, I'll tell you what goes around comes around. You say, oh, come on. Well, the Bible says there ain't nothing new under the sun. So if you're doing it, if you've done it, it's been done before you and it'll be done after you. But I kind of like it when you get to the age and experience to where You know, it seems like I'm beating up. Yet you say, why are you beating up on us dads? Last Sunday was Father's Day. Yeah, but this Sunday's the day to step up and really be the father. But it ain't just dads, it's moms too. It ain't just that. You want me to get on the kids a while? You need to respect your parents. There are so many things parents do for their children. Children don't even know that's going on. I really don't know why kids think we go to work. Maybe they think we go to work because we're having fun. So, Brother Jerry, if I had your work, I'd be having fun. You want to try it? I'll let you try it. See how fun it is. Somebody, any of you that's not self-employed in here, if I asked you what your check going to be this week, you know. Right? So I'm living by faith, and yet you know what you're going to get on Friday. I have no idea. But here's the thing. I know my Heavenly Father takes care of me. That's why, and I mentioned to you last Sunday, I don't know who gives what, how much, how often, or nothing, and I'm glad I don't. I can stand up here, and the devil can't never put no thought in my head about, yep, they're worse at so-and-so, they ain't been doing it. I have no idea. So that means I can just go on and burn your hide if it burns it, or I can go on and praise you if it praise you, you know. It ain't got nothing to do with your money, whether you do or you don't. It don't have one thing to do with it. People think I preach on. There's some folks before said they think I come in and look at the people, and then whatever I see going on, well, I'll start hitting on it. That ain't what I do. Somebody told their kid one time, said, you better get a haircut. You know what's going to happen? Said, you're going to go in there one of these days, Brother Jerry, going to look out there and see you. He's going to preach on long hair. Have you ever, in the 17 years I've been here, ever heard me preach on long hair? Maybe some of you out there think maybe I should. Why? I'm in the South. Look around you. Not really a problem, is it? I'm talking about on the men. Huh? It's not really a problem, so. I'll tell you this. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He roameth to about seeking whom he may devour. He's always watching us. He's always looking for a way. Somehow he can trip us up. And I'll tell you what, he's not partial to any one gate in your spirit. He'll use any one of them that you'll let him use. If he can, he'll get into that gate of affection. And I'll tell you what, once he gets in there, he won't stop in one gate. If he can get into the gate of affection, friends, he's going to hit all the rest of them. Imagination, reasoning. He'll get you to, if he's hitting that gate of affection, he'll get you to imagine this. He'll get you to imagine things that don't even exist. He'll get you to imagine how bad something is or how great something is. Then he'll get you to reason about it. Well, you know, maybe. Well, you know, Brother Ram did say this and this and that over here. I had a man come to me one time, stood in my study, right in front of my desk. And he said, Brother Jerry, I want to divorce my wife. I want to put her away. And I said, for what? He said, Well, Brother Branham said that if she defies me being the head of the house, I could put her away. I said, he said if she cut her hair, showed disrespect to the head. You know, I said, all right, just a minute. Pulled it up on the computer. I knew it was in there. I pulled it up in the computer and I said, all right, let's read the entire paragraph there. And he said, but he cannot marry again. That ended that conversation. That ended that conversation. You say, whatever happened? Well, eventually he quit church. They got divorced and he remarried. But he don't go to no message church. I tell you what, that subject, marriage and divorce, that's a touchy one. It is. It gets real touchy. I don't have any delusions in it, though. You say it's because you're not in the circumstance. Well, I might not be in it, but I don't want to be involved either. I tell you what, it's something you very much need to think about. Even when you get married the very first time, I've tried to teach all my kids, you better think about it. Better think about who you're marrying. You better pray about it. Huh? You better pray about it right. You know, I had a man one time was talking to me. He broke away from a church. And he went out and he started him a church. He broke off from the pastor, took his family with him, started him his own church. And he was inviting different preachers to come in and preach for him. I got an invitation to come in and preach for him. And I went and I preached for him once. But he was talking to me and I was talking to him about why he left his brother, why he broke off from that. And he said, well, I talked to Brother Biscoe. And he told me, and I called Brother Donnie Reagan and I talked to him. But you know one thing he never did tell me? What in the world either one of them said? One time, my wife and I had been married just a few months. We was living in an efficiency apartment that I had got before we got married. I'd got this efficiency apartment. I'd went down to a furniture store. I took her with me. We picked out some furniture, and I furnished the thing, you know. And so it was apartment 116. We started to get mice and bugs coming in there. What it was, they had one of them heating and cooling units like you see in some of them old motel rooms where it just sets in the wall, you know, wall unit like that, down by the floor. Well, underneath it, I got looking underneath it, and that you could see daylight out from underneath that thing. And so, well, I wanted them to fix it. They went on and on. He wouldn't fix it. I kept on to the manager of the place, get somebody down here to fix this thing. They wouldn't fix it. Well, I got an opportunity and offer to go rent a house. Well, I was in a lease, and I wanted out of that lease. And I wanted out of the lease because he wouldn't come down to fix that thing, and I had a better offer. Well, I went and talked to them, and he said, nope, you're in a lease. It's signed right here. We're holding you to it. So I said, all right, fine. So I went and called a lawyer. And I went in, took the lease, talked to that lawyer, told that lawyer everything that was going on, how it went down, and everything else. And after that, I went and called him up, and I said, look, I'm moving out, and you ain't hold me to that lease. I've done went and seen a lawyer. What I did not tell him was that lawyer told me there ain't no way for you to get out of this lease. You understand what I'm saying? His brother said, well, I talked to Brother Donnie. He never told me what Brother Donnie told him. And sometimes, you know, somebody will say, well, friends, let me tell you something. people ask you a question, I've learned this. They're going to ask it seeking, some folks will ask it seeking a particular answer. And so they try to formulate the question to get the answer they want to it. And if they don't get that answer, I've traveled around this doing evangelistic work too. And if they didn't get, I found out if they didn't get the answer they wanted from their pastor, they'll shop every evangelist coming through to see if maybe one of them will give them the answer they want. And I'll tell you how I found some folks to be. It wouldn't matter if 9 preachers said the exact same thing as their pastor, but if the 10th one said something different, they could go with him. If the 10th one told them what they wanted to hear, they're going to go with him. This is the thing I think. We ought to think, first of all, about our soul and where we want to spend eternity at. Realizing there are decisions we can make that are irreversible. Pardon me. I will consider thy testimonies. We need to be considering the testimonies I'm giving you today. Hallelujah. This is my comfort in my affliction. My comfort is his word. David said, at night I lay on my couch, I weep. And he says, and I comfort myself with thy word. I comfort myself. You mean there wasn't somebody else coming in there to say, poor David. Pat him on the back. Why, you poor king, you. I imagine there was people in the kingdom of Israel that thought, oh, he's king, buddy, he's got it easy. Maybe they thought that when Solomon also was king. I'll tell you what. I've often looked at that example we have of Solomon's wisdom in the Bible. We've heard it preached, we've heard it sung about. And I've often thought, man, would I have thought about that? Would I have thought how to figure that out? This one said the baby belongs to her, and this one said, no, it belongs to her. The thing was, it was a baby, an infant. It wasn't one they could sit down and say, well, both of y'all call it and we'll see who it goes to. No, it's too young for that. You say, well, maybe they could just kind of see how you can be comforted or not comforted, cry, whatever. I tell you what, Solomon, he got to the root of the problem real quick, he found out. Can you imagine having Solomon as your pastor? Two people got a difference between them. And so they come to him for counseling, these two people. And he looks at him and says, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get the answer by killing somebody. That's basically what happened. Only he made it worse. And I'll tell you what, we're going to solve this difference between you two by killing this baby. Can you imagine that mother standing there, the horror that she thought. What if she'd have said, why, you crazy nut, you? What in the world do you think? Well, I can't believe you. I'm just going to storm out of here. I don't believe God speaks through you at all. I believe it's just your opinion, Brother Jerry. I'll tell you what, we're all hurting if we're depending on my opinions or not. Because I'll tell you this, My opinion ain't no better than yours, and yours stinks. I just wanted to get that clear. Some people, they think, well, if it's my opinion, they think maybe they could have a better opinion. Ain't none of us got to look. He said, what we think is foolish, God sees as wisdom. And what we think is wisdom, God looks at and says, that's foolish. I'll tell you what, reason with this. Here's the big picture. The world's coming to an end. Time is limited here on this earth. Each and every individual has a limited time on this earth. Death is not a respecter of age or person or position or gender. And you only got a certain amount of time. And in that amount of time, you got to make up your mind where you're going to go. Where do you want to go? Now, here's the thing. One ticket, you're going to pay for it. You'll pay for it every day of your life while you live here on this earth. Satan will make sure of that. There are things you can't erase from your mind, your memory. There are scars you can get in this life, and they don't disappear. Not even when you give your life to the Lord, they're still there. Say, why? Well, because it ain't time for him to wipe them away just yet. Those scars are in this human spirit. Those scars are in this flesh. But you don't want no scars in the soul. You don't want your soul to leave you. Because it'll come back to haunt you on your day when you're going to die. Say, does your soul really leave you? No. What happens is, it's no longer in touch. Brother Bradham said there's only two things, faith or unbelief. Either believe or you don't believe. We all struggle with unbelief. We all struggle with doubt. But that's out here in these other realms. Amen. That's not in your soul.
That's right.
Huh? There's a difference. There's a difference. Amen. My comfort and my affliction, I'll consider thy testimonies. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh my. There's my comfort, friends. That's something I take comfort in. That's how I can comfort myself with his word. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it all out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All trespasses, all the writings that were against us, the things recorded what we done, what we said, what we thought. All of it recorded. Hallelujah. Every bit of it recorded. It's all blotted out. This morning I was just thinking about something. You know, Lord Jesus, when he was asked, tell us how we should pray. One of the things in his prayer was, forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our trespasses. And I happen to think about the blood of Jesus Christ and how that blood supernaturally surrounds this world. That blood. And when God looks down, all he sees is the blood. And all he hears, he don't see the trespasses. Say, well, somebody does. Yeah. We know God's got an all-seeing eye. Who is it that sees the trespasses? Well, I know, boy, sometimes things you'll get into will get people all tripped up and they'll think, my goodness, what in the world are you saying? I thought I had the Godhead all figured out. Well, there had to be an advocate. There had to be somebody to be the propitiation for your sin. And it said he nailed them to his cross. He's the one that blotted it out, what with his own blood. But I looked and I thought, as Brother Branham gave that testimony that time when he looked and saw that woman and people in that restaurant. You remember that? And he felt so condemning of them. And then the angel spoke to him and began to show him some of the things he'd done wrong. Said, did you want to be forgiven? Oh, yes, I don't want him to see that. And he showed him then in a vision. It looked like a buffer all the way around the whole globe of blood. And said, God don't see it. All he hears is your voice coming up through the blood saying, forgive me of my trespasses. But there's coming a day, friends. There's coming a day when that blood's going to be gone from this earth. When this bride leaves here, that leaves this world in a state to where they're going to get ready for judgment. There's a story that I want to tell you before I close. Brother Branham tells this in one couple messages. Went into this place. It's like shop, factory type place. And they worked with metal and things in there. And they get metal shavings all over the floor. And there's metal scrap and things all over the floor. And he said, they get all this stuff all over the floor. Said, how do you get that all up? He said, well, at night, we run a big magnet over the shop. And says, everything that's attracted to that magnet will be caught up and caught onto that magnet. And he said, well, how about these big machines? How about these others made of metal and things? How come they don't go up? He said, oh, because they're bolted down. Brother Raymond said, oh, hallelujah.
I don't want to be bolted down to this earth when that great big magnet comes over to take us up out of here. Everybody, everyone and everything that's bolted down and tied to this earth and got ties to this, said they'll be left when that magnet goes over. They're all human. All got souls. Tell you, reminds me of that song, I don't want to own one thing I can't leave behind. I'll tell you something, friends. I got some things I own that I really like. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't stay here for none of it. I wouldn't stay here for any of it. I don't know. The Bible says a half ain't been told. I don't know what all we'll have in that new world. I know it says in the time of the millennium we'll build our own house. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't no lazy individual. And I've had some dreams about a house. And I, when it comes my time to build one, Brother Cody, I'm going to build one. I ain't going to settle for a little old shack. I ain't going to settle for just a little old thing. You say, why? Because I'll finally be able to have, right now, I got one, my family's this big and my house is this big. One day I have one that's bigger than my family. Hallelujah. I don't want to be left here. That's the big picture. That's the big picture. There's coming a day. God's going to rapture his elect. That's right. The bride's going to rapture out of here. I heard a preacher one time say, or he was supposed to be a preacher. He said he had heard one time Billy Graham in an interview he was having with Barbara Walters. Billy Graham said, what is your greatest fear? He says, my greatest fear is that when I come down to the end, whether he'll say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, my greatest fear is that he won't say that to me. And I was out eating with this individual that was telling me about this interview he'd heard. And he looked me straight in the eyes and he said, Brother Jerry, he said, that's my fear. And he said, I would love to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, but you know what? I don't think he will. He probably won't. And I thought, well, how sad. We either believe that he has forgiven us of all our trespasses and blotted out everything written against us, or we don't. If we're God's elect, if we're part of that. But you know what he told me? This let me know a little bit more where his thinking was. He said, I believe, he said, but I will make it, he said. He said, I'll make it through the tribulation. This is a message preacher. He said he was a preacher. That was his, what he claimed. I'm not going to deny it or confirm it. But I thought, well, how sad that was. If you believe this message, Brother Branham said, and I know I quote this a lot, he said, cut me open, fill me full of sulfur, and set me on fire. He said, but don't let me go through that tribulation. Boy, if it's that bad that a prophet of God being able to see ahead to what that would be, that time, and him seeing it would say, I'd rather you do one of the most horrible things ever to me than to go through that. That tells me it's going to be worse than a lot of people think. I'm thankful. Friends, listen to me. There are religions out there. There are Christian religion, Christian churches that believe that they're going to go through the tribulation. Isn't that sad? How sad. I feel sorry for them. And you know what? I come across somebody, I'd love to be able to share the truth with them. Share something with them that's going to change your life. Something that's going to change your destination. I'll tell you this. There's times I feel like a failure. There's times I feel like a failure as a Christian. That's right. But I'm so glad that I got it covered, that he has forgiven me all my trespasses, that he blots out everything that is written against me. I take comfort in that. And when the devil comes to me trying to point out my faults, my failures, my trespasses, this is my comfort. He has forgiven me all of them, but look here, Satan. He took, and because of the foreknowledge of Almighty God, he nailed every one of them to his cross. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Come to the instruments. He took every sin that was ever going to be committed by anyone. The Bible said he's not just a propitiation for us only, but for the sins of the world. He took the sins of the world and nailed them on his cross. All you got to do is receive him as your Savior. That's all you got to do. To take claim to that when he was on the cross. All you got to do to make claim to that is just accept him as your Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask for every head to be bowed. Is there anyone here that hasn't accepted as your Savior? And you want to raise your hand and say, Brother, I want to accept this today. I haven't never accepted him as my Savior. I want to accept him. No. Amen. No. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see all hearts, dear God. You know, Lord, all thoughts, all minds, they're all open before you, Lord. I pray, dear God. Lord Jesus, what a late hour we're living in. We're living in a late time, Lord. My heart just breaks, God. But I know, dear God, until you come, Lord, I haven't preached my last message yet. I ain't preached my last sermon. I ain't made my last call. Lord, I know I'll be preaching and calling for hands for people to receive you as Savior. I'll be doing it, Lord, right up until the time you come, Lord Jesus. That's my comfort, dear God. No. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's my comfort. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come up here and lead us on for us. Amen.
He gave me lovely women. He gave me drugs. He gave me anything I wanted.
Thank you. about his love.
Dismiss us.